Good to see you all. I hope you had a good holiday season, a good Christmas, and a festive New Year. Our Christmas was really rich. I enjoyed my 5 grandchildren and got to see all of them, spent some time with them. And we actually did our family thing on Christmas Eve this year and then saw different parts of my family on Christmas Day. It's kind of fun. You know, when Suzanne and I give each other gifts, we just say, oh, thank you, you know. But when the kids get a gift, you know, they get all excited. You know, it's just kind of fun to see that excitement on their face. And, wow, like, and they tear open those, you know, presents. And of course, if it's clothes, they go. But we don't give them too many clothes because, you know, they always got that look on their face. But we had a good Christmas. New Year's was a little different because Suzanne's mother, right after Christmas, kind of took a downturn. And so Suzanne went to Mississippi to help take care of her. And she's been there since. She left on the 28th, and so she's been there since to try and take care of her. And so we're hoping that she's getting a little better. It looked kind of critical at the time. They were able to kind of stabilize her along with the doctors. And hopefully she'll be stable enough that, you know, she can come back to May. Are you guys warm in here? It's a little warm in here. Can somebody do something about the temperature? Yeah, thank you. New Year's, I didn't get to kiss anybody on New Year's Eve. I was very disappointed. Okay. It's just not the same to kiss yourself, you know. You look in the mirror and, yeah, it just, yeah. Doesn't quite do it for you, you know what I mean? Okay, but anyway. But I'm looking forward to 2018 and what God's going to bring to us as a church. Actually been working on this for several months along with the staff in consultation with the official board and the council board. We've been kind of working on this, developing this. I want to give it enough time so that we really think about it and pray about it and really hear from the Lord as far as what he wants for us in 2018. And so what I'm going to do this morning is sharing what the process that we went through, but also some of the conclusions that we arrived at, and also what we're going to do about it in this new year. And so I want to engage all of you to be part of this because, you know, I think we believe that God has some really good plans for us. It's going to really take each one of us to be part of that, okay? in our staff meeting, I forgot which month it was, several months ago, we got together and started talking about this whole thing. And the first thing we did, we asked several questions. The first thing I did was ask the question, what is God blessing at Adventist Church? What is going well at Adventist Church? And can we see that? Are you having trouble reading that? It's okay. First service did. Okay. So what is going well? And, of course, our assistant pastor, Nathan, took right off on that. Well, the well is going well. Okay. He's becoming a punster, you know. Okay. The well is going well. And it is because the new college and young adult ministry is getting pretty stable, getting pretty steady, and pretty moving forward. And so we thank the Lord for that. So the well is going well. We listed that. Children's ministries, we just, at the time, this was September or something like that, we just found out there's some new teachers, new people stepping up to teach in children's ministries, and so we were glad for that because we'd been praying about that. And programs, okay. This is my writing. If I can't read my writing, don't tell me you've never said I can't read my own writing. You said that? Okay, thank you. Made me feel a lot better. In our infant toddler ministry, we just found out that we were going to have some new helpers, and so praise the Lord for that. He provided for that. Librarian, somebody who's going to minister there. Movie nights, those were really getting a good response. You know, we had this last most recent was the Star Wars one. Remember where everybody got dressed up? I'm just always amazed that people get dressed up like that. I don't do stuff like that, and I don't wear onesies, you know, for your Christmas pictures and that kind of stuff. I just can't imagine what I'd look like in a onesie, you know. But anyway, but people got all dressed, and it was really well received and well done. So that was probably the third one. We had done a few more before that. Facilities. Thank the Lord that. Thank you, Nathan. Thank the Lord that our facilities have been safe. Amen. We haven't had any emergency or traumas or critical incidents. And so we just thank the Lord for that. That's a blessing, beloved. And I'll get talking to that more about what we want to do to prepare for an emergency. Youth ministry and staff. Youth ministry is thriving. We have 50 kids on the roster now on youth ministries. It's great. We have a great youth leadership team, the YLT, the Youth Leadership Team, as well as a good parent liaison committee that are really ministering to youth. And Linda's doing a great job in terms of our youth. And so praise the Lord for that. That was another one of ours. This is a new...
new people on worship team.
Oh, new people on the worship team. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Nathan. He's got better eyes than I do. Yeah. Must be that epicanthium fold over my eyes. Okay, but anyway, new people on the worship team. We thought that was another issue that we had been dealing with, and we felt like God is bringing new people to not only sing but also play instruments and support our praise teams, and so that was great. Official board and council board, our lay chairs, Dave Fong and Steve Tug. It's been just a blessing to have both of them serving on our official board, leading. Dave is the... official board chairman, and Steve Tuggy is the council board chairman. And those two guys have been doing a great job for us and are really helping lead Venice Church. And I think that's a great asset for our church. Trustees have been busy working on our church. You don't see them very often because a lot of time they come during the week or at night. But a lot of things get taken care of. If you see something broken or if you see something that's misaligned or something like that, then the next time you come, it's fixed. Well, the trustees did it. And so they're doing a great job on that. People working well together. We think of like VBS when everybody just comes together and everybody just starts serving in different capacities. And we feel like, you know, God's really blessed us in that regard. Morale we felt like is very high, very good. Awana ministry we feel like is really reaching a lot of people. MOPS ministry is reaching. It's amazing how many people outside the church find out about MOPS and comes, and half of them aren't even believers, but they just need that input, that fellowship, that connection with other mothers as well. So we have a good leadership team on that too. Connections and community. We're making good connection with our community. In terms of me knowing people and people knowing me, people knowing the church, we feel like God has really blessed that as well. We feel like Venice Church is more authentic than just being a country club. We feel like people are able to share their concerns, their burdens, their limitations, their shortfalls, even their sins, even, and receive a lot of healing. That has progressed into something like the CR ministry. And in that CR ministry, people have an opportunity to really go deeper into their lives and really let God do some great healing in there. And so we feel like we're being more authentic, which is great. Missions-minded. We support missionaries all over the place. And so praise the Lord for that. You and your donations get sent out to different countries. And good for you, because we're supporting the Lord's work in different countries. And we also send out mission teams. And so praise God for that, because people want to go. And so we're sending out short-term mission teams. For example, the Baja team went out, did a great job. You who were participating in that Baja team did a great job. So you represented the Lord, serving those who are underprivileged, and represented Venice Church in terms of what we want to accomplish, you know, serving people with the gospel, not only where they need it physically, but also their spiritual needs. And so the Baja team did that. And so good for them. Missions-minded. Ethnic diversity, we feel like that's a good thing. We're seeking for our church to look like our community so that we can minister to our entire community. And just looking around, we have a diversity in here. I wanted to keep going and keep moving. We can make more progress in certain areas, but, you know, we're making progress, and so that's great. Ethnic diversity. We're active. A lot of things happen here. Certain days of the week, you know, there's hard to find a parking space, or we find a lot of people coming in and out, and so great. Plus signs, okay. Okay, that doesn't say falafel, huh? Okay. Plus signs. All right. Biblical integrity. Venice Church teaches the word. Venice Church values the word and teaches the word. And so praise the Lord for that. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who saves. Amen. Okay. And so we teach the word. We have biblical integrity in our staff. We've got a great staff. We have a great staff. Good attitudes, skills, abilities, devotion to our church. I call them BCS, WWW, best church staff in the whole wide world. And so pray for them and be thankful for them because each one is doing a great job for Venice Church. And the list could have gone longer, but we just sat there and said, oh, what's going really well at Venice Church? To be realistic, we also had to ask the next question. The next question was, where are we struggling? Okay, and so we asked that question, and so we came up with this. It looks a little better. Some of our struggles, and these are real struggles, and we're concerned about them. We feel like few are converted. In our church, our size, we have about, on an average year, we have about in the low 20s people who come to know the Lord, who give their lives to Christ, which is great. But I feel like in a church our size, we ought to have more. And so that's why I say few converted. We praise God for the 20 or so each year that give their life to Christ. That's great. Each one is a victory. But, you know, a church is a church because it teaches Christ and gives out people who don't know Christ the opportunity to find Christ, right? And so we have new believers, but most of our real growth is by transfer. Okay, growth by transfer. Our new members have come from other churches or were in a church before. Maybe they kind of pulled back from their faith and now have rekindled their faith. And so now they look for a new church again. So a lot of our growth, and those of you who did that, great, we'll welcome you. That's fine. Okay, but that wouldn't call that a conversion growth, but that's a growth by transfer. Struggles, new technology. We feel like we could use new technology better. The internet, phones, live streaming. I don't even know the words to describe what we should do better in terms of new technology. Take advantage of new technology in order to really enhance the church life and get the message of Christ across. And so we feel like we could do better there. Our facilities, our facilities, we always run into problems. And say, oh, if we had the space, we could, if we had the parking, we could, and so oftentimes we run into those kind of situations. And so we feel like that's kind of an ongoing thing. Safety, we want to do something about safety. Smoke detectors, fire suppression, security, and a more modern feel to our church. It's getting a little dated in some aspects, and so we want to give it a more modern feel, cleaner look, more up-to-date kind of a thing. I'll talk about safety a little bit in just a minute, okay? Signage, we need to have better signage so that people can know where to go, when they get here. If they don't know where to go, the signs will show them where to go. If you need to use the restroom really badly, you don't have to ask 10 people before they show you this is where the bathroom is, okay? Our signage should tell you that. Parking, this has been an ongoing situation for our church in terms of what's available to us and how limited our parking is. It is. Leadership positions. We've been having a hard time filling some of the lay leadership positions, okay, on our council board, our official board, and also the ministry directors. And so that's one of our concerns. We're not sure exactly why. There's some people have different solutions to that, but we have some difficulty with that. Our middle adult ministry. We want to do better with our middle adults. We have a great program for children, for youth, and our senior adult ministry has a pretty good program running. But we don't have a lot of good programming for our middle adults, and so we want to improve that. We want to get more going on in that. And the recently retired. Several of our families are recently retired or on the verge of retirement, and we want to be able to capture that audience and minister to them as well as let them have opportunities to minister. Men's and women's ministry, refreshed, okay. We want to refresh the men's and women's ministry. That's one of our struggles. We realize that it's kind of ebbed, gone down a little bit. We want to address that. Adult Sunday school, we want our adult Sunday school to be much better. It's almost non-existent at certain times of the year. And so We recognize that it's an opportunity for real teaching to go on, real teaching ministry to take place, but we're not taking advantage of that. Single parents. We have several single parents in our church family. We want to be able to minister to our single parents. You know, for the first 20 or 25 years of ministry here, we didn't have any single parents. It was kind of interesting. I always kind of wondered, how come we don't? You know, we're not being realistic here. And now we do. And so in a lot of ways, I'm saying, good. I'm glad we do, because it's more realistic with who's in our community. At the same time, we need to be able to minister to them, okay? We reach out and minister to them in ways that are important to them. We recognize we don't. Our adult shut-ins, we have a lot of shut-ins. A lot of the Niseis who are in their 80s and 90s now. There's just a lot of them. And so, you know, getting to each one, you know, and they're not only a lot of them, but they're scattered all over the place. And some of them have moved pretty far to be closer to children or that kind of thing. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic as we face this. Senior memoir, some thought that we ought to capture the faith journey and faith life of some of our seniors so that the rest of us can learn from them. I thought that was a good thought because, you know, they went through a lot of hardships, especially the existing seniors. You know, they went through a really tough time, the greatest generation. You know, they went through the war. They went through a lot of different things. They went through the 60s, the whole revolution, and all that kind of stuff. Cliquishism. One of the good things about our church is that we've got a lot of good groups. But the backside of a good group, you know, ministry and a good group program, is that sometimes we stay within our group. And if there's new people, we don't go out and branch out and welcome people into our group. And so there are people who have told me, so, you know, Venice is a little cliquish because it's hard for them to get into the new group. And so I'm glad that we have the groups, but at the same time, we can be a little cliquish, okay? And we recognize that that situation does take place. We feel like we need to make some improvements on our greeters and ushers, our hospitality ministry, okay? Yeah. That got started about 3 or 4 years ago, and then we haven't followed that up. And so we want to Spanish language. We want that ministry to go well. We realize that there's been struggles in that. Thank you, Pastor Hecker, for being faithful into that. But we want that to go well and active. Sometimes we can be too active or too busy. And we don't want you to just be busy, okay, so that you miss the Lord's presence. But we want you to be involved in ministry, yes, but not so busy that you're missing the Lord's presence. And so we want you to know that we are aware of that we have strength and we have a lot of strength, but we also want you to be aware that we have struggles, areas of difficulty, and we're very much aware. And then again, you might be adding to this or what, but this is our our shot at that. Then the third question we ask is, what would we like to see if we were just kind of dreaming and said, "Wow, you know, what we'd like to see, what we'd like, you know." And so we came up with this list. We like to, and I like this, pray for each other more. That was one of the first things that came out. That's why it's on top. We need to pray for each other more, have a more active prayer ministry where it's more dynamic. Some of the suggestions were, well, I wish we had a prayer team during the worship services praying for the worship services. You know, that it would just empower our worship services so much more if we knew that there was a prayer team praying for our worship service during the worship service. We have two teams, one pray for the first service, second pray for the second service. We want to take more advantage of the opportunities for prayer and make that more of a dynamic in our church life. Somebody said a gym. We need a gym. Okay. We might get an outdoor gym, but not a gym. Creative arts. We want to take more advantage of the creative arts. And that's not only electronic, but also giftings in terms of instrumentation, dance, I don't know, all the kinds of things that people do, hula and plays and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But not only for our own church, but to have an impact outside of our church, to be able to take a band outside of our church over to Mar Vista Gardens, for example, or take a band over to Playa Vista and just get something launched over there. And so we're trying to get into Mar Vista Gardens for several years now. It's been very, really slow. I'll share more of that later. We want to be more millennial. For those of you who don't know what that means We're trying to reach young adults, college and young adult age group in our efforts. The Lord brought that group into our community in Playa Vista. The whole Playa Vista is supposed to be about 10,000 people living in there. And the Lord brought 10,000 people into our community. And so what we'd like to do is reach Playa Vista and everybody who's in there with the gospel of Christ. And that's right down here. Counseling center. I like to have a counseling center because I do some counseling. You know, others on our staff do some counseling. But, you know, we're not trained counselors. We can help biblically and that kind of stuff, biblical counseling. But we're not trained counselors. And so we have limitations of what we can offer and what we can do. But I like to have a counseling center because those issues come up regularly. They come up all the time, as a matter of fact. Visitation to senior shut-ins. We like to be better connected with our senior shut-ins. And we have, like I said, we have many. So, and then Emiko's name there because she was going to get something started about that. But what we'd like to do. And then we ask the question of vision. What's our vision? You know, what do we envision as far as what we truly want to see, God? And that's growing the fog. That's family of God, by the way, for those of you wondering what fog means. I did this with one group, and they said they had the hardest time. They said, what is fog? What is fog? Okay, growing with fog, growing the fog, that's us. First of all, growing beyond the walls, growing in technology, update the facilities, and growing the hospitality. Church-wide evangelism opportunities, serve the community better in practical and also evangelistic ways, and for our church family to be more equipped and more training opportunities afforded to given to our church family. And so that's the process we went through. Thank you, Randy. Let's give Randy a hand because he had to do a lot of work in preparing that and getting that up for us. And so see some good things on there. We are aware of the areas of concern or struggles where we're not doing so well. And but, you know, I like what came out. We want to pray stronger. We want to have reached the new areas, specifically the Mar Vista Gardens projects. There's been times we've invited to participate. One time we actually invited to participate in one of their community fairs, and then we got disinvited. We feel like it's because we're a church. You know, they didn't want to look like they were inviting a particular religious thing into their event. And so, you know, we're still working with people over there to try to maintain a presence over there and get stronger in there. We don't have any effort going into Playa Vista. We want to get something going in there. And some of that, a lot of vision talks about outreach, but it also talks about our own church health. And God gave me an analogy that he invited me to use. And the reason I say invited is because, the prophetic gifts, you know, I don't know if I want the prophetic gifts. I don't mind the pastoral gifts and the shepherding gifts. But, you know, in the Bible, all the prophets got their heads chopped off. And, I don't know if I want to get my head chopped off. This is what the Lord gave me. Okay. We're a good church. We are. Praise the Lord for the good that's taken place. Amen? Amen? We're a good church. And many of you have done well, extraordinarily well, and it's good for you. We're like the followers of Jesus prior to his crucifixion. The followers of Jesus were good. They followed Jesus. They gave up jobs. They gave up opportunities in the work world. They followed him faithfully for 3 years. They were with him all the time, every day. They prayed with him. They supported him most of the time. And they walked with him. They heard the teaching. They sat at his feet. And they followed Jesus for those 3 years, a solid 3 years. They were a good group of disciples. They did a lot of good. They even went on ministry excursions where they helped the people. And they saw some fruit come out of those ministry excursions where Jesus sent them out. But the followers of Jesus, they also had their own agendas. Some believed in, you know, that Jesus was the one who was going to bring Israel back to prominence, political prominence, and rebuild that military and be prominent in the world again. Some believe that Jesus was the way for them to get personal glory. Some believe that Jesus was the way we believe that Judas, part of his motivation was for personal wealth because he got paid off, right? The 30 pieces of silver. Some of the time they were jealous of each other. When it came crunch time, just before when Jesus was arrested, they bailed when it got tough. When it got tough, they bailed. One even turned traitor. Even though Peter followed Jesus even more, he too eventually rejected Christ and denied Christ. Those were the followers of Jesus pre-crucifixion. They did a lot of good, but they're also limited because they had their own agendas. They had their own desires. And those desires and agendas weren't surrendered to Christ yet. Then after Christ is resurrected, hallelujah, and after his ascension, when you start reading the book of Acts, that same group of men is a different group of men. And I'm glad that the Bible follows the same group of men. Because it's not like Jesus dumped these guys and started out with a new group. Because we saw the strengths and limitation of these guys. But then we also see the transformation that took place in the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, these same men who had their own agendas, who had their own limitations, who bailed when it got tough, these same men are transformed. They're different men. They're different people. They're sold out for Christ. To the degree that when they preach Jesus Christ boldly, even under the threat of their personal injury or personal arrest, they teach Jesus Christ. And in one occasion, 3,000 people got saved. They're so sold out for God that they're willing to go to prison for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though beaten and put in stocks and put in the deepest, darkest, dankest part of the prison, the scripture says they're sitting in there at night praising God. Even though they've been beaten and they're in prison and their lives are at risk, they're praising God. And they considered it of value to have suffered for Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Philippians, he says, I have all this pedigree, yet I count it all as a loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. Wow. He had all the world at his feet, and yet he considers it a loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. He was sold out for God. Sold out for God. And so the question to ask, beloved, is do we want to be a pre-crucifixion group of Christians? We're good. But we also have our own agendas. We're jealous of each other. And when the going gets tough, we bail. Or do we want to be the post-ascension group of Christians who experience the power of the Holy Spirit, who see marvelous and magnificent things take place in ministry, who take care of themselves and each other, and who launch the Christian church, launch it, willing to die for Jesus, willing to suffer whatever they had to suffer for the Lord. See, in Acts, in the Gospels, the disciples are a bunch of whiners. In the Acts, they're courageous and bold. They were a good church in the Gospels. Let's be a great church. Let's be a great church. Pastor Nathan and I didn't dedicate our lives just so you can be good. We dedicate our lives because we wanted you to experience all that the Holy Spirit has for you to experience in all ways. To be completely surrendered and given over to Jesus Christ. We want you to know God. and be turned over to Him. Let's not just be a good church. Let's be an extraordinary church. This is what we're going to do. I'm almost out of time. Talk too much. First of all, we're going to study 1 Corinthians throughout this year. We're going to go verse by verse, section by section. 1 Corinthians is about a church in Corinth who is like us, experiences a lot of the struggles that a church will experience. Their culture and environment are very similar to ours. And so we're going to walk through 1 Corinthians and experience what they had to experience and see what Paul has to say to them, because he's going to be speaking to us. We're going to continue to call us to reach out in our communities and further. Pray for Mar Vista. I ask you to pray for our efforts to get into Mar Vista Gardens. Pam Magnuson is leading that effort. Pray for an opportunity to get into Playa Vista, because those people need to know the Lord. We have a group going to Spain this year on our short-term mission. They're going to be going in summer. Pastor Nathan is going to be leading this group going to Spain in a short-term mission in conjunction with one of the missionaries that we support. We want to keep doing outreach work. The second thing we're doing, adult education. Pastor Nathan is developing Sunday morning adult education classes, and I encourage you to participate in them. He already announced the first one. Steve Tugg is going to be leading the one on biblical conflict resolution, because we're seeing that a lot of unbiblical behavior is taking place when people try to resolve conflicts, blaming and critical and et cetera, et cetera. But we also have many kinds of subjects in our adult education. That's primarily on Sunday morning. And I invite you to take advantage of that. Discipleship, biblical knowledge, those kind of things. Men's ministry, we want to reorganize and revamp and refire the men's ministry. Get that going again. Because I want Venice men to be strong in the Lord. Hear that, guys? I want Venice men to be strong in the Lord. We're the ones that are called to lead our families, our spouses, and the church. And so I want Venice men to be strong in the Lord. And so we're going to revamp that and fire that up. We want to continue to minister to our church family. Approximately mid-December, one of the couples came to me and said, Jim, here, just give this to whoever is in need of it. And I looked in the envelope, and there were gift cards in there, grocery gift cards, and it was a substantial amount. They want to be anonymous. They don't want anybody to know who it was, and they didn't want a tax receipt. And so they just trusted me that I would distribute them to whoever was in need in our church. And we have some people who are in need, so I was gladly willing to distribute them, and I did. That's kind of extraordinary, isn't it? It is. They're not going to get a tax receipt. They don't want anybody to know who it is. They're just them and me and the Lord know who it was. They want to remain anonymous. They're not doing it for personal glory. But they wanted to do something extraordinary for the Lord, and they did. Another thing we're doing, we're going to make some effort to organize a church in terms of safety. We want you to know that you're, as much as possible, we're going to provide a safe environment and what to do if an emergency takes place. We've already activated and put into stages. Linda in youth ministries already has a plan for what the youth are to do if there's an emergency, and what the parents are to do to find the youth, because if we have to remove them from the campus, where to find them. And so those of you who are parents of youth should know this already. But we're going to put that into our children's ministries as well, so that all the teachers and all the keep accurate records of who's there. So if we have to evacuate our children to go to the safe zone, and then you who are parents of children will know where to pick them up. And then we're going to check them off to make sure that every child who attended is accounted for in case there's an emergency situation. So those of you who are parents of children should be getting information about that this month in terms of how to do that. And Pastor Nathan and Linda, who already developed the program for youth ministries, and Ken Koshimizu, who's helping us with children's ministry, are going to work that out and roll that out. So you're looking forward to that. As far as taking care of the larger church situation, we're putting together a committee to kind of figure out how prepared we need to be, we'll probably go through some drills during the year to, you know, et cetera, evacuation drills, that kind of stuff. Don't do it right now, okay? Wait a minute, okay? We're going to create a family life director position. And the family life director is going to minister to families. Because the majority of the concerns that we get either have to do with a husband and wife or parents and children. Those are the majority of concerns we get. And so we're going to have a family life director. And that family life director is going to be overseeing children's ministries, youth ministries, and equipping parents. Why are we doing this? Because attendance in children's ministries has gone down. We're at about the mid-30s now in terms of children in our Sunday schools on Sunday morning. That's down from about mid-40s to mid-50s not too long ago. And so we want to address that. Children are an important part of our strategy to reach people. We want to reach children when they're young so that they'll have the Lord with them all their life long. We also want to reach their families. We want to reach our community, and we want to grow our church. And children are critical to our strategy for reaching people and for growing Venice Church. We have yet to refill the full-time director position that was vacated by Audrey Hodges. Instead, we're going to promote this new plan. We want the family ministry director to give children's ministries, youth ministries, vision and leadership it needs to flourish. And we want to thank Ken Koshimizu, who has stepped up to keep children's ministry going. But we need more resources in that area, and so we're going to apply more resources in that area. Our Awana ministry, fewer people, as Steve Tuggy mentioned earlier, few of our own people are staffing Awana ministries. And so we want to put more of our children's ministry staff support behind that, and so the Awana stays strong and keeps what they need in terms of staffing. We want our family life position to equip parents and families to address issues that children, youth, and parents grapple with. Every family needs help. Isn't that true? Every family needs help. And we want the family life ministry director to help our families. Be places where homes where children and youth and adults and marriages can grow. You can anticipate classes and seminars and curriculum, etc., to address important family life topics. I already got a book about what fathers give to their families. I thought that's a pretty good book. And so what our plan is, we're going to transition Linda Kutagawa from youth ministry director to serve as the family life director. And to serve as that in that position, to provide leadership and oversee both CM youth ministries and the parents' ministry. Ministering to families is Linda's passion. That's what she wants. She's actually taken a class now at Fuller Seminary called Family Life Ministries, and she's been building toward this. That's her calling, her passion. She wants to do this. She's proven to be effective in leadership, programming, building a team, planning, and implementation. And so with her gifting and her skills and her passion, we want to give her a wider area of responsibility so that she can affect more of Venice Church and as she serves in ministry, because she's very skilled and very gifted. We will need to replace her at the youth director position, so we're planning to hire a part-time, about 28 hours a week, youth director. We lost 15 hours when Ryan Granucci took the conference internship program and went to serve at RISE. And so we lost 15 hours there. And then with the 40 hours that we lost when Audrey Hodges stepped down, we actually lost about 55 hours of staff ministry time. And some of that was replaced by Pastor Nathan, but, you know, we lost a good chunk of time there in terms of staff and what they can do. And so I want you to welcome Linda as we transition into this as family life ministry director position. She'll do a great job for us, and we can look forward to that. She'll have classes going for parents, for youth, and she'll have curriculum. And so she's already shown to have skills in that area, has been doing that for youth ministry. It's time for her to, you know, have a greater effect on the church-wide matters. We're developing our facilities. We're working on a master facilities plan for our whole campus. We're at the concept stage where we have drawings now for the concept, not details. Basically what we're planning to do in the concept is to knock those two buildings down over here and put up a chapel on this side, seat about 300 people. We're going to repurpose this room to make it more of a multipurpose room, classes/event center. And then we're going to bring all the offices onto the front part of this part of over here.